I have no idea.
I get that.
It doesn't want me to be.
You are the white noise in our discussion.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There we go.
Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're listening to me, Pete, and alongside me I have Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
Excellent energy, Eddie, as always. I like it. And not seductive this time, which was a weird one a few weeks ago. But anyway.
Is it weird because you got turned on?
I am even now thinking about it, man. That's the energy we bring into the show now.
That's your voice. That's your voice, Eddie. I like that. Yeah. That's what it does to people. So
this podcast must be having an effect, man. Like,
It is. It's creating waves, man. And it's Eddie's voice, I imagine.
All Eddie's voice. That's what we've got. I doubt any of it is influenced by the fact that we're going to bring you the news as we do every week. A bit of the new releases, assuming Ben has put it in. Nice.
I've done a lot.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can see you've added at least six words to the names of the games.
I've done a good job. Celebrate me.
You know what? Yeah, let him have that. You can even make the train noise if you want to, Ben.
There you go.
There's a freebie. We're also going to be talking a bit about what we've been playing. And after last week's feature, which went down really well, actually, we got mentioned by Kenji's Twitter, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So it was good to see.
That was a nice surprise. Yeah. So we're going to bring you more of those hidden gems, but not for this week. For this week, we're going to talk about handheld gaming.
In particular,
handheld PC gaming. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not all about the Switch, I promise you.
Not about the Switch. We're actually branching out from Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, aren't we?
I know. It's going to be amazing. At least.
Disgusting.
What?
Disgusting. It's all about Game Pass. Grumpy Game Pass, baby.
Not branching out too much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I'm sure one of you is going to bring some news or something about that. So shall we crack on with the news?
Let's do it.
Excellent. The one I'd seen this week is actually to do with another competitor potentially getting involved. Do you guys see Netflix maybe looking to get into gaming?
I didn't see that. I've seen your article here, but I hadn't really heard much about it.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that's been rumored for a while that they would want to. The same with Amazon. But this particular one was the first time I've seen it actually put into official news. So we had Netflix is making significant moves into the gaming industry, according to a new report from The Information. They said the company is hiring an executive to lead its future video game initiative, and they're on the hunt for senior figures within the industry. Early discussions apparently involve potentially launching an Apple Arcade-style bundle of games without any advertising. And in a statement issued to GameSpot, Netflix said it is excited to do more with interactive entertainment, which is nice and vague, of course. They do dabble in video games already. They're looking on a video game based on Stranger Things, and they've done a lot of interactive shows. Ben, I know you liked Bandersnatch by Black Mirror.
Yeah, I did. Mostly because of the Black Mirror connection, to be honest.
Of course. And I know there's another example given here, which was You versus Wild, which I don't know anything about, to be honest.
No, nor do I, actually.
But it's interesting that, for one, Netflix responded to GameSpot, even with a very vague statement. And for another, the idea of an Apple Arcade-style bundle without advertising, I thought was an interesting concept. Now, obviously, they do everything through subscription already, which, as we know, is a fantastic model in gaming. Only one particular example at the moment, which I can't quite remember the name of, but fantastic in principle. But what do we think? Do we think Netflix can actually make any waves here?
I think Amazon have tried it, and I think Amazon, their first game kind of... wasn't it one of the first games to be released and then go back into beta? and then didn't they ditch it? I think they are making another game right now. So Amazon are trying, and I don't think it's going particularly well. Google Stadia's been a massive fuck up. Can Netflix do it? Theoretically, yes. I actually think the people who really could do it would be Apple. I don't think Netflix will be able to make any real waves. I don't think anything's going to come of it, but it would be interesting to see them try to muscle in.
I mean, I think you're probably right, and I'm of the opinion that they'll struggle to get in as well, at least trying to compete with the current group. I mean, if they tried to do something clever and come in from another angle, then maybe, but I don't think they're going to. And by that, I mean doing something like coming in through esports and trying to make themselves platform for that.
That's a really interesting one, actually, because they could actually win, because the Netflix platform itself is so strong. I mean, it's so far ahead of Amazon Prime and the like. So that they would have a complete monopoly on anything like that. Esports, if they could get something like that, that would be an excellent way in. But I'm with you, Pete. I don't see them muscling in.
Yeah, and I mean, it's odd that I had that idea literally 30 seconds ago, and I think it's better than the way they're planned to go. But yes, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And they've got the money for it, clearly.
But yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Let's be honest, it will be a surprise if they get anywhere.
I would love, on a side point, I would love esports to become something that you could actually genuinely watch, and it was regular, and there was a schedule, and you actually cared about some of these esports teams in certain games. Like, I'd be all in on it. I'd even watch games that I don't play. I'd watch League of Legends and stuff like that if I could get behind a team.
How about if they did international ones?
But yeah,
so you have to be from that country and you represent that country.
To be honest, I think because of the teams and the sports that the teams that are set up, like in that genre, they are really well known. Like, if you play League and you're into esports, then you do know these, and it is like Manchester United kind of thing. I think the way that it's set up is there to explode, because for me personally, I would probably get behind an esports team more than I would like my national League team. League of Legends team, I mean. I think I would anyway, because they've got more the teams that already exist, and some of the players, they already have that kind of superstar aura around them because of the way that they big them up. I'd be all aboard that one, I think, if they could do it, but that's not what the article says. So.
That's nothing to do.
We've gone on
a bit of a tangent there. Not something we do often, but hopefully enjoyed. What have you guys brought for the news?
Shall I go next?
Crack on.
So this week, and you guys probably haven't heard because you're not massively into the Nintendo games and stuff like that, but there's been a massive backlash to Nintendo's announcement around Skyward Sword, the new Zelda game that's coming out. But it's actually a port of a Wii, I think it was a Wii game or Wii U game. I think Wii U. Basically, an old game that they're putting on the Switch. It used to be a motion control game, but they've changed up the controls so that you can use it with a controller, blah, blah, blah. The backlash has really been about Amiibo support. So Amiibo are those little figurines that you can buy separately to games. And when you scan them on your console, scan them on your Switch or 3DS or whatever, it would give you like some in-game perk. But it's usually like something pretty nothing. Like, for instance, if you had Skyrim on the Switch and you had a Zelda amiibo, you could scan it and you would get the Master Sword in the game. And Zelda's Link's tunic to wear. So, you know, they're little perks, maybe some health potions in Breath of the Wild for Link or whatever. So that's great. But this one, they seem to have put a quality of life issue that was in the game before, where you would have to go to certain statues in the game to take you from the airborne location overworld down to the Hyrule surface. So to get from one kind of part of the realm to the other, the airborne to the surface, you had to go through these statues. Now, with this amiibo support, it actually unlocks that ability to do it anywhere at any point. So it's actually a massive quality of life issue. Now, Nintendo advertised it as a massive quality of life issue, whereas if you've played the game before, I don't think it's a huge thing, but it is certainly something that people would have complained about. they've put this behind a paywall, essentially, because this Amiibo is 25 quid. This here, and people are calling this out, and this is fucking bullshit. Like, I'm not going to buy the game. I don't really have any interest in the game. But this is just another example, and it seems to be Nintendo get a pass for so many things, and this is just another example of just the money grabbing bullshit that they actually do that nobody really takes into account. They've done this before, you know. They did it with Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS. You needed an amiibo in that game to unlock the hardest difficulty, the fusion difficulty. So you needed to buy a separate amiibo. To put that into context, that amiibo now is sold out everywhere, and it costs £100 if you want to buy it somewhere. Like, so if you buy that game to unlock that difficulty, to utilize the full experience of the game, you have to have a fucking amiibo that costs 100 quid. That's just ridiculous. And not only that, the limited edition Joy-Cons that are being sold alongside Skyward Sword are going to be 70 quid as well. And now the amiibo is 25 quid. So if you want the game, you want the controllers, you want the amiibo, you're looking at an absolute fucking fortune. It's just ridiculous. And when this does come out, the amiibo will be sold out everywhere. It'll be unavailable. It'll be scalped. So these 25 quid amiibos will be sold. You know, you have to get them on eBay for fucking 60, 70, 80 quid. That's just what will happen. It's just a massive money grab by Nintendo that then will just get exploited. And people are now saying that this is Twitter, the minority, this is the 5%, saying they'll boycott the game. People should boycott the game. I'm not saying people should necessarily boycott the game. I just think it's another example of absolute fucking nonsense. Like, this is why people are put off by Nintendo. The fact that they never give massive price reductions on the games. The fact that they're online that you pay for annually. It's just fucking bullshit. It's rubbish. Like, look at Xbox Live and PS Plus, and they give away free games and all this kind of. You know what you get with Nintendo's online? You get some free NES games.
Yeah.
Some free SNES games. Who gives a fuck? Like, they call it the virtual console. They had the virtual console on the Wii U. That was far better. Like, that you had loads of games on that, all for free. It was just on the virtual console. But on the Switch, they're like hanging back and they're giving you fucking NES Tennis. Who gives a fuck? Where are your GameCube games? Where are your N64 games? Like, where's all this back catalogue of stuff that you have? Why don't you charge more for your online service and make it fucking good? Like, this is why they need Game Pass. They need a collaboration with Xbox, because it's fucking nonsense. And people are turning around and going, We give them such a pass because, oh, they make innovative games. They've got great level design. Oh, look at the characters and the worlds they've built. Yes, that is true to an extent, but they also release absolute wank games. and we give them a pass. And like,
not all of us, but yeah.
But like, even Pokemon Sword and Shield, like, I played a lot of that game and I really liked it. The reason I really liked that game is because I wanted to like that game. You know how that game looked? It looked like a fucking disaster. If you put that on an Xbox, people would have gone, what the fuck is this? Like, it's like you give it that Nintendo pass. You're like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Like Pokemon Snap, people were giving it great reviews. Like, I played it. It was lovely. It was like, oh, yeah, enjoyable.
It's a great game, Pete.
But it's actually shit, though.
Yeah,
like, it's a solid game. It's actually boring shit, but I do quite it, but it's got like this, I enjoy it, but because I enjoy Pokemon, but actually, like, the effort involved, it's like, not, it doesn't compare to some of the other games that I've been playing recently. It's just in a different world. And some games they release are fantastic, don't get me wrong, like Luigi's Mansion 3 or that kind of stuff, like that, it's just an innovative delight. It's fantastic. But even when you come down to, so the best selling game on the Switch is I think it's Mario Kart 8. It's like, that is a fucking Wii U port. Yeah. That's a Wii U port, like a direct port. And they haven't released a new one, and you're 4 years into the Switch or whatever, and there's not a new one because the old one is just selling. Yeah, the reason it's selling, I appreciate, because nobody bought your wank previous console. So true. There were none of them. So, yeah, they want to re-release it. But it's like, now Skyward Sword, it's another example of bringing a game to the console for a cash grab. I mean, they haven't even done much to the game. Like, it still looks the same. And I'm not even sure anybody wants this game. Like, people, I did hear rumors of it before. I know Skyward Sword will come, Skyward Sword will come. No one bought it the fucking first time. Even the people who had a Wii U, they still didn't want it. So now you're bringing it to the Switch and you're just pissing people off with, like, this announcement. Like, I just don't get it. This is just, it's so poorly done. If they'd said, oh, you know, if you do fancy a little bit of a leg up, whatever, with this feature, you can get that with the Amiibo. Great. Okay. You're advertising it a bit differently. Don't do a fucking, like, video or whatever saying, this is a feature. This is a new quality of life feature. If this is a quality of life feature that you have recognized, that you've said, our game needs this, put it in the fucking game. If you've said, oh, this would be really good, I'll tell you what would make the game better, this thing, put it in the fucking game for everyone. Don't put it behind a £25 paywall.
See, I do understand where you're coming from, and I enjoy you raging at Nintendo for the first time ever. This is lovely. But to me, at least, it seems so Nintendo to not only make you buy cartoony games, but then to make you buy figures that are blocky little cartoons.
Well, I thought Amiibos were going out of fashion because, like, Amiibos, sometimes they're quite hard to come by. That's why usually they don't have the big features locked behind them. Like I said, to get the Master Sword for Link or whatever in Skyrim, you could use any Zelda related Amiibo, I think. And so it wasn't specific, and usually it gives you little things, and Amiibos are usually collected by people. They're almost like collector's items for people, but Amiibo collectors are getting few and far between now because it's just so fucking many of them. And it gets quite an expensive hobby. But I thought they were going out of fashion, and then they just bring up this and you're like, come on. And the main point about, if you have said this improves our game, improve the fucking game then. Like, say this is a new feature. Don't put it behind a paywall. I mean, yeah.
Ben, what gets them more money?
But you're right. You're right.
Also, Eddie. Also, they set the precedent with Samus, mate. They got away with that one.
Yes, I mean that Samus Returns, like, that was fucking ridiculous. Like, I mean, for the people that wanted, they have to buy that. If the people who have played on the hardest and they're really into that game, they're locking in that niche to pay that extra money. Now, admittedly, I think the Amiibo for Samus Returns at the time was about £15, and it was probably in better supply. But
that's still twice as much as a full DLC for Warhammer Total War.
Absolutely. It's basically like...
for something you don't want.
Yes, but for the Samus one, like, you could say it is basically a DLC for a difficulty level. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. But this, I think, it's like saying it's a £25 DLC to make your life a little bit easier. Like, it won't change the game dramatically. It's them not respecting your time. It's saying, for you to have a little bit of a time save, that will cost you £25. That's like going down the fucking M6 toll or whatever and saying, to use this toll, it's going to cost you £25 to have that time save. What the fuck? Like, this really took it for me. They get a pass. I'm a Nintendo fanboy. You know I love Nintendo.
We do.
I'm all about it. And I will buy their stuff, but some of it just pisses me off. And I know the consoles themselves, Switch Lite, etc., good price. Like, they are affordable. It is quite good. But sometimes they're bullshit. Like, you give them such a pass, and it's just, for fuck's sake. Anyway, that's my right.
And I, for one, celebrate you for it. Well done. Love it. I mean, honestly, I actually think you were, if anything, kind to them with that, because that is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
you're right. Like, I mean, the Samus one blew me away on its own. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, Eddie, what happy news have you brought for us?
I wouldn't say it's happy. On the happy players, review bomb Elite Dangerous Odyssey.
Literally unhappy players.
Literally. On paper as well. So Odyssey came out, the expansion of Elite Dangerous, spaceship RPG, I guess, game. So it was released on 19th of May, so last week. And the problem is it's caused all sorts of problems. It's had crashes, poor performance, bugged missions, and poor optimization. And that's according to the reviews that have been left on the Steam page. So the feedback now aggregates over 3,000 reviews, 2.2K of which are deemed mostly negative, despite a second hotfix that rolled out on Friday in a bid to address the game's stability. I just saw this and it kind of upset me because I use Steam reviews quite a lot. Do you guys use it? Like, it's probably the first thing I look at.
I use it to look at games that are coming to the Switch that have been on Steam previously, because if it's got 9 out of 10, you know it's going to be a decent game.
Right, yeah, there you go. So it annoys me when these things happen. I mean, I understand that people are angry. It just does my head in when they go like this. Yeah. I mean, is there another way for them to do it? Just like, I don't know, email the developers?
But this is the thing, isn't it? Because I understand the principle of review bombing, but it's really annoying if you actually want to use a review for anything. Because it's relevant until it's patched, and then there's just this stack of shit which doesn't tell you anything about how it actually plays.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's so true.
That's why it annoys me with reviews when they bang on about all the bugs, because you're like, well, I've watched, when did this review came out? 3 months ago. Right, well, all that's invalid. So now I've filtered through all that shit, you haven't said a thing. So yeah, it just does my head in.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the same for me, actually, when they focus on the wrong things, like ones that focus on bugs and poor performance like this, which are fixable, are much lesser concerns to me than like the story in this is absolute garbage, or the gameplay is the same every level. Like, I don't really care. And let's be honest, I grew up with games like Morrowind, so I don't really care about bugs and stuff like that overall. Yeah. I'll get over them. And it really shouldn't be the focus of all your attention, especially not if you're just doing it to try and mess with them.
And it came out on the Wednesday, and they did a hot fix on the Friday. I think we discussed this when Cyberpunk came out. Am I right in saying that game devs kind of need to release it to a lot of people because that's the best way for them to get the bug reports in? Is that right?
It's the best way to prioritize it. Because you'll get a certain amount of bugs that are spread across everyone in the testing groups to start with, but it's only when you fully launch it that you'll see the ones that literally apply to everyone and the ones that are system specific or even hardware specific in certain cases. Yeah. So it's the final testing stage. It's the first release.
It's weird. Like, is there any system? Do we know of any system through Steam, etc., where they do filter out reviews that are now obsolete? Because you're right, review bombing is just not the way to go.
Yeah.
No.
Like that clouds the judgment forevermore, doesn't it? Like, surely there are thousands and thousands of reviews, but these 3,000 reviews or whatever, that will have a material impact on that score, you'd think.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, definitely will.
I remember ages ago reading an article, and there was a game, I can't remember what it was, but the advert took the piss out of anime people. And because of that, everyone who obviously loves anime went onto the game site, probably Steam, and review bombed it. And I thought that's such a dick move because it's got nothing to do with the gameplay. It's obviously someone in marketing just fucked up and thought that was a smart idea. Obviously, it was the dumbest idea ever. But now everyone thinks the game's shit, and everyone that goes to it looking for an opinion can't get one. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just annoys me.
Yeah, no, it's crap. It's crap, but I'd like us to keep an eye on those reviews and see what the score is now and whether there's any improvement, because the developers might be able to get some of them kind of sounded out when they've made some, because it's a big game.
It is.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, the fact that they did a lot of fixes 2 days later, I thought that was bloody impressive. But yes, they're a huge game, so I'm sure they'll get it sorted straight away. And it's annoying because I want to know what the game's like. I want to hear those kind of things. I don't want to have all the news populated around this, so... Yeah,
and what you might find. Do you have to if you really leave a review on Steam? Do you have to evidence that you bought the game?
I'm not sure, though. I've never tried to review one that I didn't own.
Because it might just be because 3,000 reviews is quite hot, isn't it? Like, So, if I bought the game and it was bad, I probably wouldn't leave a review.
Yeah.
Or if it was buggy, I'd probably just go like, okay, well, this will be sorted in a week.
Yeah. I think it's usually with these things, it's normally people that are on a forum go, right, everyone, we need to do this. And
yes.
That's normally how these things get sorted. Yeah.
Gotcha. So gotcha.
That's probably what's happened here. They've all gone, oh, it's buggy. Let's all review bomb it.
Fair play.
Yeah. Well, that's a positive note. But we did get through the news without mentioning Microsoft or Sony, pretty much. So that's nice.
Yeah,
that's a win.
Elite Dangerous is on Game Pass.
It is, good plug, Eddie. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah.
Best deal in gaming.
So on to new releases then.
Yep, let's do it.
Excellent.
Right, so yeah, I've actually populated some info this week. So it seems like there are quite a few. I've padded it out with a lot of indie game new releases, really, because there weren't any real big ones, so bear with me on this, but I have looked at them all, so at least we'll have something to discuss. The first two were the two that I mentioned last week, King of Seas on the 25th, which is tomorrow, but the day of the release of this pod, and the second one is Maneater, coming to the Switch on the 25th of May. I've got something to say about that. Yeah, also tomorrow. I've got something to say about that one in terms of it's coming to Game Pass on the 25th as well.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
So that's a Switch release, but it's actually coming to Game Pass, which is pretty cool. The next one is called Ambition. It's like it's released on the 26th of May. It's a graphic novel type game set in the 18th century Paris, a woman trying to make it kind of up the social kind of circles. It sounds shit, right? But then I watched the trailer for it. I watched the trailer. It also looked shit. And then I watched the second. Then Steam kind of rolled onto the second trailer, and it was like a voice acted trailer. And I was like, actually, I'm not mad at this. I could work with this. I mean, I'm not going to buy it, but there's a demo. So if anybody likes the sound of what sounds like a gash game, then there's a demo of it on Steam. So crack on. Oddworld Collection is released on Switch on the 27th of May.
Because I haven't heard about Oddworld for about 4 days, so that's great.
Yeah. Yes. Hold on. Just before we move on, Ambition. This is set at the very end of the 18th century, and you're playing a noblewoman.
No, you're actually playing a woman, I think, who comes from nothing, but has landed herself into, she's trying to rise up the social ranks.
Right.
That's how it's working.
To be fair, for anyone who looks at any history at all, that's a really poor sense of timing, but cool. Yeah, that's going to go well. That's going to be a great game.
I wasn't mad at it when I looked at it, Pete. But anyway, I'm not going to play it. I've got too much to play. But
look forward to your review in 2 weeks. Yes.
Yeah. All right, then we had Oddworld. Then we've got a game called Pathway, which is coming to the Switch on the 27th of May. Seeing I'm padding this out with indie games. It's a 1930s strategy exploration game. Think like raiding tombs and stuff like that. And it's turn-based combat. Okay. Next one is called 7 Years From Now, which is on the PC and Switch on the 28th of May. It's a story-driven adventure game with a distinctive 3D pixel art. I mean, it looked rubbish from what I was saying. It's from Google.
I thought it looked quite good.
Yeah, I wasn't really into it, to be honest.
I can never tell when Eddie's just being sarcastic to the point of sounding serious again.
It's got the same kind of visuals as Hearthstone's the card one, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's something like Hearthstone. It's something like that. But it's a colony building game. It looks good. I quite like that aesthetic.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. The next one is called Roots of Pansha. Is that what it is? 28th of May. I don't know how this is going to work, but it's a co-op farming and life simulation game set in the Stone Age, where you and your clan just settled in a promised and fertile land, and you build up your clan from there. It looked okay, but it says co-op, so I don't know how that's going to work in practice, and whether it's basically just an online online farming and simulation game, maybe. Then we've got Song of Horror Complete Edition. Now, I hadn't heard of this, but this is coming to the PS4 and the Xbox on the 28th of May. It's a survival horror game, there's an interesting fact on this one that they sought funding on Kickstarter in 2015, but it failed. They then spent the next 4 years working on the game until the first two episodes of it were released on PC through Steam in October of 2019, and it's now got a 9 out of 10 on Steam. So it's actually pretty, as horror games go, fairly well rated. So comes to Xbox and PS4. Now, I like the fact that they called it episodic then. So quite like episodic horror games, because it means that it's horror, but checkpointed horror. I quite like that, because you're working towards, so you can, if it's proper horror, you can kind of get through it. But I thought that sounded quite interesting. Next one is called Wonder Boy. Asher in Monster World on the PS4 and the Switch. It's a retro remake, and there's a PC version either coming in the next few weeks or maybe just later in this month, maybe a couple of days after.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so I knew you'd think that, Eddie. Mm. So move on so back quickly.
Yeah.
Then there's another game called World's End Club on the 28th of May. I'm really padding this out now. It's an action.
We noticed, yeah.
Puzzle game. Well, you say I don't put in any effort to this section, so I'm doing it. It's an action puzzle game.
I like how you put notes next to them as well this time.
I know,
then.
Yeah.
I was quite happy.
I might, if I've got time, do that again. But this one was on Apple Arcade previously, so it obviously did well there. Now it's coming to the Switch, which again is like, it's on Apple Arcade and it's coming to the Switch, so it doesn't seem like a proper full game when it was on Apple Arcade. I don't know. Just leaves a bad taste. And the last one was called Fallen Knight, and it was on PC, and it's coming out on the 31st of May. And I thought, by the sounds of it, this could be another like King Arthur that we saw like
Ben, you're like this. So I thought that, and I typed Fallen Knight into Google Images to see like what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
And my God, the pictures looked awesome. And then I went, hang on, none of this is gameplay. Then typed in Fallen Knight game, and then this shit comes up.
Yes. It's a scrolling action platformer. I think it looks like a shit Hollow Knight. But obviously it's not going to be the same gameplay as Hollow Knight, but it's
gameplay as well.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling action platform. Hollow Knight is widely revered as quality games. So.
Also, isn't Fallen Knight also on the Apple App Store?
Oh, it definitely could be. It could be on Apple Arcade for sure.
You plumbed the depths this week, Ben, and I for one respect that.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't much coming up here, so I even scanned ahead, and you know, we talked the other week. Me, you, and Kirk, we were talking about roguelikes and the origins of roguelikes, and we were saying about, and you mentioned Alex Kidd, and like,
oh yeah,
you know, in a way that nobody had ever thinking that we'd never would have played it or even heard of it. Alex Kidd in Miracle World is re-releasing on everything in June.
Jesus. And it's got honestly, I thought no one had ever played that. I thought I was the only person on the planet to play it. And now I fucking can't get away from it. What is going on?
Like, you found out that I said to you like the other week or whatever that I even watched somebody do a playthrough of it about a year ago again. Like, yeah, it's more popular than you think. So because of the dire list of games that I pulled out for new releases this week, I delved into the depths of Game Pass. So yes, Maneater is coming to Game Pass on the 25th of May. So if you've got an Xbox, that's your way to play it. I don't know if it's got any next-gen upgrade, because I think on the PS5 it does have a next-gen upgrade. I'm assuming that the Xbox One does have that as well. Conan Exiles comes out the 27th.
Yeah,
that's cool. Going to be awesome.
So that's a big... But I was hearing somebody talk about that last week, actually, saying that it's cool it's coming to Game Pass, but it is a game that you have to dedicate your life to.
That's
a great one coming. We've got MechWarrior 5. I don't really know what this is, but it sounded like a game that I should know what it was. So that's coming on the 27th of May. I don't know if any of you have heard of it.
So MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries. That just sounds like they've stuck words together that they think sound cool.
Yes, and that's what it looks like it needs to go on this list.
And that's why Ben has pre-ordered it, yeah.
But the PS de Resistance, the one that I actually saw when I loaded up Game Pass on my PC this evening, that I am actually going to play, is SnowRunner. So SnowRunner it came onto Game Pass on the 18th of May. You know, it's like a delivery driver sim. And it's got 9 out of 10 on Steam. Like, this game is
the resistance.
This is the game of the month, guys. This is it. Eddie, I see you highlighting things. Highlight SnowRunner. Have a look at that bad boy.
No, I'm okay. That's the truck one, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's the truck. It's the truck delivery one, man. This is the boy. So
is this the best of gaming?
It's got 9 out of 10 on Steam, Eddie, and that's where you like your reviews to come from.
I'm gonna review bomb it.
Deservedly so. What I like as well is just that, so that everyone does take advantage of this. Ben has done more research on this one new releases section than the last 5-6 put together. And there's, not a single good game in there that wasn't mentioned before. That is,
thank you, Ben.
You did a thing, Ben. You made something happen there.
Yeah.
I just hope he actually does it for a good week.
but now you'll remember this going forward. This is what I can do when I'm on top four.
now we have the frame of reference for our disappointment every time going forward.
Exactly. We're just getting disappointed, but you didn't know what you were getting disappointed about.
We'd never seen the other example. Now we have.
Exactly.
It's MechWarrior 5 and Wonder Boy Asher in Monster World.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait to play MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries.
At least the advantage of that one is it's free on Game Pass.
That's true. So is SnowRunner.
I mean, that's not an advantage.
I've always wondered, because the truck simulators are really popular, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like,
well, I'll tell you driving next week, from Eddie. A to B? I'll tell you next week when I play SnowRunner.
Usually you don't want to start like easy on like a truck simulator first, Ben, because SnowRunner sounds quite, it might be slippery out there, Betty.
Sounds intense, doesn't it?
Oh, should we aquaplane into what we've been playing?
Yeah, let's do it.
Perfect. Well, I'll make it exceptionally easy with mine. I have only and exclusively been playing Warhammer Total War 2.
If you just cut the same what you've been playing from the last like month, or
you can honestly go to
no,
we
had that
years.
5-hour game over the past.
Oh, you did.
I did. Okay, sorry, Genesis Noir. And I also was playing some RimWorld, whereas now I'm literally just playing Warhammer Total War 2 again.
Oh, has RimWorld got bit in the dust?
It's taken a break for now. Mass
Effect mod is come, it's the biggest mod ever. It's something they've even split it over 5. How are you not playing that? It's your two like favorite games mixed together. I'm lost.
And it's a brilliant combination, and I obviously have that mod set downloaded and ready to play. But as always, I end up coming back to Grand Strategy for a bit. I always have to have Grand Strategy runs before I go back into other games. It's just, it's my niche. Like, Ben loves the cartoony style, you know, weird little narrative games. Those ones.
I said that you refrained from calling them shit. I was going to say careful where you go with this, but yeah.
I thought it was heavily implied, but I didn't want to say the outright.
Right, not very
Does
helpful.
Ben like that game? Yes, it should.
Cleanser.
I mean, it's almost every other game is a palate cleanser between Warhammer Total War, to be honest. You know, I'm close to the 2000 hour mark with this game, like, yeah, and I'm pretty sure I got 400 in the first one as well. So, and that was only out for a year before this one came out. So that's an hour a day on Warhammer 1 for the year that was out. It's a brilliant game. It's an absolutely brilliant game. And the one difference here has been getting back into the battles in preparation for Warhammer 3. Because, you know, you occasionally need a little bit of practice. And I actually lost one the other day. That's a rarity.
Right. So, how'd you do that?
Well, legendary difficulty. And then trying to go Chevron formation in a situation where I'd let 4 armies come in from different sides. Chevrons don't work if you do that. They kind of fall apart and everyone gets hit in the back. So, yeah, don't do that. That's my advice. But shall we move on to other games that we haven't talked to death already?
Cool. Yeah, I could talk about mine, Eddie, because I know you've got a game that we haven't talked about before. So
yeah, cool.
I'll crack on, because I've been playing Subnautica Below Zero a lot still. It's pretty much the game I've been playing exclusively. I'll touch on Mass Effect after. But I'm so glad I bought it on Switch. It's like the perfect handheld game. I want to play it all the time. it's technically so impressive that it even runs on this bloody Switch. Like, yeah. I don't know how it runs so well. I mean, there are frame rate drops here and there, but we're talking dropping from like a pretty steady 30 to probably like low as 26, I imagine in terms of like it slows, but it's not really jarring or noticeable, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's, and there's pop-in on it, but there's also pop-in on like the PS5 version, I hear. So I am probably treated that I haven't seen the PS5 version or the PC version, because I have when I'm watching streams, but it's not quite the same, is it? So but the story keeps on giving. The hook is definitely the next kind of upgradable still. There is a story, that the story is there. There's always another landmark to try to be going after, and it does drip feed good information through, but the game just has an incredible way of drip feeding like new tech.
Yeah.
Every new place you go, you might stumble across an artifact, you might stumble across a place that would have been given to you in the story later or something like that. But I've wasted a lot of time this week just base building, Eddie. I had an episode where I was building my base like how I wanted to build it, and I built like a control room. I could change the color scheme. I've got like this black, cool, sleek base, and I got the spec for this like huge fuck off room to put on the side of it. So I built this massive room, and then I hadn't really realized about like hull integrity of the base. And every time you add like a room or something, it takes your hull integrity. I think you start with like 10 integrity points, let's say. And every time you add something, it takes it down, and you can build structural improvements to kind of beef it back up again. So you can always be building structural stuff, but I didn't realize any of that. And then I just saw suddenly just everything burst, and the whole thing got flooded. Whoa. And I was like, oh shit. And then for a while I just lived full underwater. I was already underwater, obviously, but my base was just, it was just a water world. So I think I texted Pete, and I was just like, okay, built a base, overloaded the base, flooded the base, spent an hour fixing the base.
Yeah. Survival gaming.
Yeah, exactly. And but what's good about this is like I've done several like hours on this game just farming. So I've gone full Pete, and I have created loads of lockers in my room, and I just have everything labeled up, and I've got all the different materials that I'll need in the game, just all, and I just go out on farming missions. So I just go and farm the shit, like have a clear inventory box going out, and then just farm the shit out of it. And even that's fun. It's just, the music's fantastic. It just makes you, it's just a good feel good game. And like many games, there are time sinks like that, but it all seems to have a purpose. Now, you guys have played way more survival games than I have, but this one to me seems to have more of a purpose than other survival games that I've played. Like, it's not overly complex either. Like, the crafting is not overly complex. It feeds it in naturally. And even like, you know, the sea truck thing that you want to get, and I've got the prawn suit, which is basically this big mechanical suit where you can punch the shit out of fish. But like the game kind of drip feeds this to you. Like you can get them. They're not like these unattainable things.
Yeah.
And you know, you get, and the stuff that you can build to kind of make your base feel good, like your vehicle bays and all that kind of stuff, it's just great. It's just a really fucking well crafted good game. And I spend a lot of time watching YouTube videos for like, what I like is, because it's a crafted world and it's not procedurally generated, like if I go, I needed to get diamonds, I was like, well, where did I see the diamonds, where did I find them? I load up YouTube and I'll watch a video who'll just say, right, at your base, go east, one click from east, and it's 400 meters away, 40 meters down, that's roughly where they're going to be. Brilliant. Like, it's that type of stuff, which is just, it's so satisfying to then know where to go, right? And you mark that place, right, that's where I go for my diamonds now. Brilliant. It's just a really good fucking game. You play it with headphones, music's wonderful, can't go wrong. Really, really impressed. And the other one I've been playing is Mass Effect.
Of course. How much have you played?
Not much. Two hours or so. I played it last night. So I've just got a feel of it. But it looks great. It feels great. And it's essentially Mass Effect. The controls in Mass Effect 1 are a little bit dated. Not going to lie.
It's the hardest one to go back to even before the remaster.
I'm quite glad I'm playing it, and then the second one and third one will feel better, I think.
I'm sure they will.
But there's a weird thing with the map, and I don't know whether this is... When you load up the map, which annoyingly is not just on... They should have a remapping of the controls. You can't remap the controls on the first one anyway. Yeah. And that, to me, is just like a massive oversight. But the map, you have to click start and then, you know, do the... aim at the map and then click map. You know what I'm talking about on the...
Yeah.
But you should just be able to press like the middle thing of your controller and it bring up the map like it would in any other game. But that annoys me. But when I did bring up the map, like, it's got this weird thing where it's got arrows as to which way you're pointing, but they're literally pointing in the wrong direction. They point to the right of where you're facing. And I even looked at this up online. I was like, what's going on? But I don't know whether it'll just load in correctly next time and it'll work, or I just didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was like, that is really off-putting, because I was like, I need to go over there, but that's a wall. The map says I need to walk forwards, but that's not true. But yeah, I'll play loads next week. It's essentially Subnautica's been my game.
It sounds fantastic. I'm looking forward to playing it myself.
Yeah, yeah, and you're so looking forward to playing it as well, Eddie, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really looking forward to that.
Just wait for a sale, and then you're
both probably... Yeah, that's it, because I'm killing the gaming industry.
And I am on board with that as well.
Talking about a sale, I bought Outward, because it was on 75% sale.
That's a big sale, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I looked. You know, on Steam, you can look at like how often they come on sale and stuff, and how big they come on sale.
Okay,
it's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know that? No,
I didn't know that.
Wow. I've barely ever used it. I knew about it in theory.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I only found it because I saw someone else doing it. Yeah.
So you can see if it's the biggest sale they've had or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you can see like the history of sales. So yeah, it is. It's one of those games that's often on sale. So Outward. What is it? Is an open world fantasy RPG. And it's pretty much nailing that genre, if I'm being honest. It's from developer Nine Dots, right? I've had this game on my wish list for ages, and there was something about it that made me go like, oh, I don't really want it. There's something about it. But then I watched a video and I found out that Nine Dots, the developer, there's only 9 of them. Okay. So I was like, that is pretty cool, actually. They're proper indie. I thought, fuck it, buy it. Because there was something, when you look at the game, you're like, it looks like it's trying to be a AAA game, but it clearly isn't. It's obviously got something wrong with it. But then when I saw only 9 people have created it, I was like, you know, that's actually fucking impressive for a small team. So, yep, I got it. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like... Yeah, it's a third person game, I don't really like, but it's a good kind of RPG element. So it's got really good stuff for the RPG element. So you've got your eating and your food, but you've got good crafting and cooking systems. Even with the cooking systems, it's not a matter of just, you know, opening your inventory and combining things. You have to put up a fire, and then with certain things you have to put a cooking pot on top of the fire and stuff like that, and you can't obviously reuse your fire because you've used the materials. So it's really good RPG elements. Same with the sleeping, same with the like, you know, in Valheim where you have the rain and does it affect your stamina or something in Valheim? Do you remember that? It's something
almost
like that.
Almost everything affected your stamina, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, this game is kind of like that. There's loads of little things that just kept on popping up that was like, your stamina is now 10% less because you're cold or you're too hot. Yeah. And it's just loads of little things like that. And even with like clothes, you have to, if you're in a cold area, you have to obviously wear warm clothes. But you don't want to wear too warm a clothes because then you'll get too hot and then something else will happen to you. So they've nailed the RPG elements to it. I wish every game just had this. I really do. I don't know why some of them don't. I know that Skyrim didn't, but there were some good mods out there, Pete. You remember? There was like a frost something, and that one took into consideration your heat. And I quite like that. But the magic's really good. It's kind of, it's really coolly done in the sense of you can have like Fireball, for example, but it will be really shit unless you use a rune that increases your fire damage. So then you have to like combine different runes, combine different magic, and then it's actually really good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. The atmosphere is brilliant. The music is fantastic. It's proper fantasy RPG. But I'm leading all the way to it just doesn't feel good. I when I was playing it, I didn't understand. And then when I realized I've got to talk about it on this pod, I was like, you need to find out why it feels dead. And I really cannot put my finger on it. I really want, if anyone's listening, any of our listeners have played this, please message in and tell me why the fuck this game just feels dead and it feels just a bit shit. Because it's one of those games I really want to like it, because they've really, like, the idea of the game is fantastic. The RPG elements, the kind of just little quirky things that no other game has done. So I want to like it, but I just can't.
I'm looking at the Rock Paper Shotgun kind of review of it.
Oh yeah.
It looks like, from the pictures, a mixture between Skyrim and Valheim. Would that be kind of like
fair? Yeah,
looking Valheim.
I was thinking about comparing it to Skyrim, but Skyrim's certainly got a more serious vibe to it. This game does not have a serious vibe to it. It's, you know, like the people you talk to are very cartoony and kind of, while Skyrim, you know, it's got more darker atmosphere than this game. But I would say a bit like Valheim, but if like Skyrim characters in Valheim, if you're going to combine the two.
They say...
That's a good shout.
They call it like a survival RPG.
Mm.
They said there, I managed the whole intro without mentioning Dark Souls, but yes, Outward is somewhat reminiscent of the popular action RPG, but a survival version of that game.
Yeah.
Fights with wolves and beasts, but mostly this is the difficulty of travel, not combat.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's one big problem that means I'm probably going to stop playing it, is... they don't have a fast travel system. Now, this is weird because every other game, I turn fast travel off. So Fallout 4, I disable it. I put on a mod that means I cannot use fast travel, because I find when I use fast travel, it's just going to a new battle and fighting. It kind of ignores the fun element that you might stumble across a Deathclaw or you might come across like a place with lots of loot. So I turned that off. But this game, when I died each time, I went back to my home base, which was a good 5 minutes real time of me walking. So I would die and I'd walk all the way back. And the problem is, because I was so frustrated that I had to fucking spend 5 minutes with my finger on the forward button, I didn't like get weapons and stuff. So I died again. And then I went all the way.
It's so interesting you say that, because I'm literally just scanning this thing and they're calling that's why they're put it saying it's like Dark Souls, and they say, but man, that travel, it nails it. but they're loving that aspect. So it's different gamers for different things. You know, I would hate it like you, Eddie, because that is too long. And then you're not playing the game properly, because you're like, I'm probably going to die again.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go there with, I'm not going to prepare properly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like with the map. They keep on banging on about how big it is, but it's not. It's like in different sections. So it doesn't feel... I mean, I'm sure if they combined all the maps together, it would feel like a proper open world, like huge thing, but they don't. So it just feels like you're loading into a new area, so it doesn't feel big.
Oh, right.
I'm doing injustice here. It's a very good game. If you like fantasy RPGs, then I highly recommend it. I do. It's a good game for those reasons. It's just something about it.
Does it feel dead because of the sheer traversal? Because you have to go such a long distance.
You know what? Part of me thought, like, I didn't like, there was that game that I reviewed a while ago that I said that you can build up your village and you can invade other people. Fuck knows what the name is. Yes. Obviously, it wasn't that good a game, if I can't even remember the name of it after.
I do remember the game.
Yes. That game felt dead to me, because when you went from A to B, there wasn't much going on. It's not like you had an encounter. But this game even does. You come across bandits. You come across little areas. But it still feels dead. I honestly, there's something about it. I really hope maybe one of you guys play it in the future and let me know.
Yeah, but, I'm going to keep track on its next sale now.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say this. The game full price is £35, which really pisses me off. It's not a £35 game. I don't want to criticize the devs here, because what they've done, they've done exactly what I want gaming devs to do. They've had an idea and they've made it into a game, which is amazing, because it's normally not like this. It's normally, how do we make money? Oh, let's just piece together bits of other games that made money and put it together into a game, which I fucking can't stand. These devs have done a great thing, but £35 is a lot of money for an indie game at the end of the day.
It really is, isn't it? And especially a relatively obscure one.
Yes.
Do you know, I mean, you looked at obviously when it comes on sale, is it usually on sale?
It's on sale all the time.
Fair enough.
Literally all the time.
So it's probable price is a lot less, but they're trying to make it have that sale icon, aren't they?
Yeah. To our listeners, if you are looking interested, I know over the past year I've had it on my wish list, I think, probably over a year. I see it on 66% and 75% all the time. So I would not pay £35 for it, but I think I got it for like £9.50 or something. So yeah, wait for it to get that, and it's a good game.
Yeah, the environments look quite good in the pictures, but ultimately it doesn't seem that impressive in a weird way.
I turned the graphics up to ultra, and I was like, maybe that'll help it, and it still didn't help it. Fuck knows. Yeah. Oh dear.
Never mind. So how much did you pay for it, Eddie?
And I think £9.50 or something like that.
Nice.
Okay. It's not the end of the world.
No. And I'm very glad, because it's one of those games that it's been on my wish list for so long that it's one of those games I'm glad I played it, because now it's out of the way. Now I know that it's this kind of game. Like, because all it takes is a game like that, and it could be my next 2,000-hour game. Yeah. This game could have, because it's got player housing, it's got RPG, it's got fantasy, it's got magic, it's got fighting. It's got a lot of the things that I love in a game. So I'm not mad that I paid £10 for it. But it's just a bit disappointed that it wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah. Understandably so.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There you go. That's mine.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I guess it's time to move on to the feature then, isn't it, gents?
Yep. Lovely.
Yeah. And this week we're talking about handheld PC gaming. I'm guessing you're riotously excited about this, Ben.
I am, actually.
Sure.
The thing is, I heard about this a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, that sounds fucking cool. I'd seen a video on one of my favorite YouTubers on one of these consoles fairly recently, and I'd kind of gone, okay, that's amazing, but they're really expensive, and kind of wrote it off as like a, he got it because he's a YouTuber, but I'm not sure how widespread these are. But then looking into it, they are a bit of a fad in the world of new kind of tech wave in the world of gaming. So
they're coming up fast, aren't they?
They are. So, I mean, the question that I kind of had in my mind, like, obviously you guys know what they are, but I love the Switch. That's well documented. I love handheld gaming. I originally got a PS Vita and a 3DS because all I wanted handheld gaming was just like, I wanted a PS Vita to be like playing real games, but just in your hands. Like when I had the Uncharted game and stuff like that, it was like, okay, it was on its way to doing it. And that's what I really wanted. So when the Switch came out, it was revolutionary for me. But it always put you guys off because of the Switch games, didn't it? Like, yeah, you're not massive Nintendo fans.
Yeah. Correct.
Entirely
you
true.
You are not wrong, sir.
There's there's nothing that massively appeals to you that isn't on another console. How do you guys feel about PC games in handheld?
I mean, yeah, it's wonderful in concept. And I think Eddie mentioned the other week about how Game Boy was a huge part of your life, didn't you?
Yes. Growing
up. And I mean, that's the same for me, obviously, with the classics like Pokemon Blue, Red, and many others. But I haven't really felt a need to go back towards handheld.
Okay.
And I mean, I suppose it's possibly because I work on a gaming laptop, which means that it's kind of handheld anyway. It's not interrupting any other screen.
I suppose, yeah.
But they are, like, they are quite exciting, these bits of tech. Like,
yeah, they fucking are, aren't they? I mean, the Switch has sparked something because, you know, there's 80 million Switches out there. One of them, the iNeo, and we'll go into this in a second, it openly admits on its, like, description, it's like the massive inspiration of the Switch. The Switch is the thing that inspires it. And handheld gaming, to me, is... I always prefer handheld gaming to console gaming on TV. Like, that's just me. I always would rather to play handheld. So what these things are, they are essentially Windows PCs in handheld, and they are exactly that. They have Windows 10 on them. Everything about them is a PC. It's literally just that they've got, like, kind of built-in, stuck-on Joy-Cons on the side, like a controller. But it's a PC to all intents and purposes. So... the three big players that I've kind of picked out for us to just chat about, and this is more of just a, I mean, it's come to our attention in recent weeks, and we've looked into it, and I think they're really exciting, and I think it's bringing the attention to our kind of listeners that these actually exist. Yeah. So one is called the GPD Win 3. Mm. One is called the iNeo, and the last one that we're going to talk about is called the One X Player. Then I think there's one or two more, but these are the three big players. And I loved this. And as we go through this discussion, remember, I loved this so much that I bought one today. I bought the One X Player today. I was on the, you can buy them on Indiegogo. You can buy all of these on Indiegogo, but I think only the One X Player is available at the moment. I think the other two have sold out, but there was there was only like a couple left, and I was like, oh shit. I have to buy it.
you immediately got the fear of missing out.
Yeah, of the deal that I wanted. And it is quite a deal compared to, I think, in the shops, the mid-range model, when it releases, when I say in the shops, it's going to be hard to come by, aren't they? They're going to start at like just over a grand. Yeah. But I could, with the deal as was, you get it for 700 quid. So the mid-range version of all these three is about £700 as it stands. But there were five left, guys. What was I supposed to do? I tell you what, Eddie, I logged on this morning and I went onto the site and there were 14 available in the deal that I wanted. I was like, okay, well, let's just see how that plays out today. Went down to 9 by about midday and I was like, oh shit, maybe I'm gonna have to think about this. Maybe I might have to get one. And then I went down to 5 and I was like, shit, I was typing in the credit card information. I was doing it.
Didn't even matter what it was that you were gonna buy.
No, by the end of the working day, I had one. So
am I right in saying, actually, those figures, because those figures used to be bullshit, but I think they have to, by law, be accurate now, don't they? I know that that's with travel, wasn't it, Pete? Do you remember that whole scandal thing? So now hotel rooms, when they say they've got three left, there actually has to be accurate. Yeah, so fair enough. Then.
I hope
I want to call you a mug. But,
I hope it's accurate, because I wouldn't, if there was... if there was 10,000 left, I wouldn't have bought one today. but there wasn't. There was 5. So I did. So these machines, then, the broad specs of the mid-range, so they range up to, you can get them, I think the most expensive 1X player was about 1,300 quid. But they sold out of that one. So the mid-range one, which is the one that I would have gone for anyway, which is good. That's 16 gig of RAM. It's an Intel i7 processor, and the GPD Win 3 one is also exactly the same with those stats. i7. The iNeo is actually an AMD Ryzen processor. That's the difference there. But the specs look pretty good from what I can see. I don't know if you passed comment, Pete. I know you looked into this, and Eddie as well. You both know more about the specs of PCs than I do.
Yeah, so they look, how to put this, they look like really good PCs about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That's where we are. I mean, the problem for me is they're all 4-core, the processors. Mm. So you're looking at a maximum of 4 threads, which is going to be difficult with quite a few games now. But there is as a caveat to that, there's so many PC games Like, the back catalogue is just insane. So if you're getting this to play PC gaming handheld, you still have a huge amount of games, even if you ignore the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, in terms of spec, if anyone got a laptop like that now, if they got it at a good price, I'd be really happy for them. Like, that's going to run a lot of games well.
It's yeah, got, I mean, see, 16 gigabyte RAM. That's fucking decent, man. Yeah, I'm world shop with that.
It's got a terabyte SSD, I think, as well.
Yes, I saw that as well. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's a bigger SSD than I've got. Like, that's a cool touch. Yeah. That is a very cool touch.
So what I saw really about the PC games that you could run, it'll play. The majority of modern PC games, they'll play, but usually on low to medium settings, some high settings, but depending on the age and kind of the power that's necessary on that game, the different consoles differ slightly. The One X player, I thought, was better, performed better from what I could see from just generic reviews, because it was the only one that seemed to run Cyberpunk kind of properly. The other two, the frame rate was too choppy, and I know Cyberpunk is not an optimized game, but I kind of use that as a benchmark. If it could run that choppy game, then I'm like, okay. Well, so yeah,
the problem when you're buying a new PC is what you need to look for. You need to look for, is this PC bloody good at this current state? Because games improve so bloody much that if you get a game, if you get a laptop or a computer or one of these that is, oh, it's okay, it can run most games, then in 2 years' time, it's going to run barely any games. So, but I think the specs, the i7, great. That's good for another 5 years. 16 gigabytes, that's good for a long time. I reckon even in 10 years, most games will be going on a 16 gigabyte. The graphics cards, Pete, you want to chime in? They're not 100%, are they? It'll fall down, I think.
They're not. And, I mean, again, the four cores is an issue for me, which is in the processor too. The graphics cards... If you're running both CPU and GPU at full capacity, like you'd need to play Cyberpunk, you're either going to be playing wearing oven mitts in order to survive the temperature, or you're going to sound like you're inside a turbine. Yep. That's where it starts to break down a little bit.
So from what I saw, like, these graphics cards have to do a lot of legwork, and that's the thing with them, and they're integrated graphics cards as well. The problem with these things is that you buy them and that's their state, like that's their perpetual state. You're not improving any aspect of it, you're not swapping anything in out, that type of thing. However, on the One X player and the GPD Win 3, they both have Thunderbolt ports.
Yes.
So that allows you to connect up an eGPU. So a lot, it really beast up the graphical processing power. So I saw the One X player with a eGPU plugged in. And they were running Doom Eternal, I think, on medium settings at 110 frames a second. Beasting it. So and it also has a second port where you could literally connect an eGPU to increase the graphical processing power, and connect a monitor, so you can actually they've got enough sockets on to do to do that, enough ports. So the iNeo does not have a Thunderbolt port, and I don't think there's any real way to connect eGPU, but eGPUs are a couple of hundred quid in themselves.
Exactly.
So it's not a cheap thing. However, what I liked about this in particular, like, I do have a PC which is graphically capable of playing most things, so it's not because I lacked the ability to play PC games. I do like the portable aspect. I do like handheld gaming. That is my main thing. I do like the fact that as they are all Windows PCs, like, it has Steam, like, it has Epic. Yeah. You get Game Pass, like, all of that stuff is all on it, so you can play all your Xbox games in handheld now, and it can also play xCloud. My just comparison there was, like, I was waiting for xCloud on the Switch, hoping that that's going to happen sometime. This has it immediately.
It does. It does. And I mean, let's, putting aside the processing power, putting aside the sort of actually whether it can play the games, if you've got the game playing, whatever that game is, you've got it playing, what screen sizes are we talking about here, Ben? Like, break it down for us.
So the GDP, it's hard to say, the GDP Win 3. That's yes. the smallest size. That's a 5.5-inch screen. That also, it can flip up and there's like a keyboard underneath it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
However, I've heard that that keyboard actually isn't as good as if you just had an on-screen keyboard because they're all touchscreen. Yeah. So that's a 5.5-inch. The Ioneo, that's 7 inches. Now, to put that in perspective, if you look at a Switch screen,
yeah.
the Switch has like a bezel around it, the black bezel around the screen. If you just removed that bezel, it would be that size. So it's basically like bigger than a Switch screen, but not just not massively so. It's still like the same size, but just without the bezel. But the One X player is significantly larger with an 8.4-inch screen. and that really does seem like a beast in your hands. It also, to note, the controllers on the outside, the One X player is the only one of the three to actually try to make it feel like a controller in terms of it's a little bit more bulky in terms of holding. That all comes at a bit of a sacrifice, though, because it does weigh, I think it's like 1.6 pounds or something. So, and I think the Switch rocks in at like 0.9. So over, like if you're playing and you're actually holding it and not like resting it in your lap while you're playing or something, that's going to wear you down a bit. But I think that screen size thing is more of a preference thing. And also, the smaller the screen, once you're used to it, the lower you can have the resolution, the lower you can compromise to increase performance, reduce resolution, and still be happy with the results.
So yeah, and this is the thing, isn't it? I think the One X player is it running at a resolution of 2560 by
it is.
Yeah, that's mad. Like, I mean, it's a chunky piece. When you actually see the One X player, it's huge. That's not going in your pocket.
It's a monster, yeah, but that's a 2K screen, isn't it?
Yeah, on an 8-inch screen, having 2K resolution is mad.
It's insane. That's my monitor that I've got, my main monitor, is, you know, that I've got a 2K monitor, and it's 300 quid. And it's a lovely piece of kit, but it's probably, like, I think it's 28 inches or something. But it's a lovely monitor, but having that in an 8.4-inch fucking screen, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this was the thing, because I looked at the One X player after you mentioned you were buying one, or most likely buying one, and I went, right, so Ben's paid for that, and it's on the way, okay. So I started looking at it, and I mean, that is incredible resolution, and I saw someone playing Rocket League on it, and it's crystal clear in respect of that side of it. However, and this I found this was consistent across all three, they are dim. Like... Did you notice this, Eddie? Did you, Ben, as well? Like, it's almost hard to see, even though it's beautifully presented, because the brightness is just not there. You're not playing that outside. Like, you're playing that underneath a lamp.
Yes, I do think, I do think that...
The old Game Boys didn't have backlights, did they? Do you remember them?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I remember I had to buy one of those fucking, like, ones that hung over, the little light, yeah.
You know, I think there are concerns is a strong word, but the slight dimness of the screen and also the sound as well, not being that loud. Yeah,
that was another thing I had noted with speakers on at least, well, on all of
Fuck
them.
Fuck me. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I thought we were going to get onto the negative at the end, but let me chime in. Jesus Christ, how shit are they? What have they done there? They're creating these beast of things, like, as strong as my fucking laptop. Like, the one you got, Ben, I was so impressed by the screen, but... And then the speakers. They're the quietest things I've ever heard.
To be honest,
yet somehow also tinny.
The thing is, and having played the Switch an awful lot, if you want to listen... I plug in headphones that's how I'm playing, and it's got Bluetooth, it's all hooked up. Like, and just to point out with these machines, like the One X player that I've bought, I mean, it genuinely is a PC in so much as you can just put the kickstand out, you can pop it in, plug in my monitor to the thing, and it is a PC. Your Bluetooth your keyboard and your mouse in, and I'm just using it like my home computer. There's no difference. So that's what I love about it. Like it is a full home computer. And yes, the sound and stuff like that. But I don't think the Switch is that great for that kind of stuff. And I get around it by if I want to really listen to something, I either listen to it on its own without anything else playing, or plug in headphones. But invariably, I'm playing it and I'm watching something else or whatever. So it's not too big of an issue. I see it. I see the problem.
Yeah, and I mean that is a negative. But I would like, there are a couple of really cool things about these as well. So the GDP Win and the One X Player, they've got analog shoulder triggers, haven't they?
Yes, and that's cool, like, because that's what the Switch doesn't have.
Yeah, that's an amazing feature to put on one of these.
Yes. Like, yes.
Especially for anyone who likes racing games or any kind of game that requires fractional changes. That's amazing.
For those who don't know what Pete's on about, it is for fractional change. So if you're playing Forza or a racing game, the harder you press the button, the more acceleration you'll get, rather than it being a simple off, like binary 0 and 1 or on off, which the Switch is.
And actually, the One X Player, and I didn't see this on the others, but the One X Player in particular, things like that home button and the turbo button and the trigger button to allow you to use the analog sticks to use the mouse.
Yes.
Which is clearly quite poorly optimized at this point because it was very slow, but they're really cool features and they're clearly thinking a lot about how to deliver this in the best possible way.
I actually saw someone on their review, like basically you hold down a button on the side or on one of the controllers and it will turn it into the mouse and you can just control it with the directional joysticks. You wouldn't think that would work, but he was then actually just like moving it around. And you're right, it was slow, Pete, but he was moving it around and he was actually controlling the video with it. And I was thinking, oh, actually, that works a lot more effectively than I thought it would. But it's got the One X Player has a kickstand. It sits up. You can connect up the keyboard, connect up the laptop. You can do whatever you want. It really is portable gaming. And I'm just so impressed by what they could get into these things. Sure. I know you mentioned heat, Pete. That was one of your concerns, wasn't it? But they seem to, so on the One X Player in particular, it seems that it's on a cyclical, every couple of minutes it'll blast those fans through.
And they're huge as well.
No matter what you're playing, no matter how much is being used up, I think it's a real protectionist thing.
But this was the thing, they are huge, and that was the interesting bit with the One X Player was it seems to not be noticeable until it is, and then you are literally standing in the engine intake of a jet plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 30 seconds later, you're back to nothingness. So
stick those headphones in, baby.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's one of those things. And we all know how much you now support these because you literally just dropped what I assume must be £1,000 on one.
£700.
Okay, and that's bargain. Better. I thought you'd have gone top.
Should have got two.
You know what, Eddie? I thought it was a bargain. You know, I thought this is going to be £1,000 in the shops. I'll be kicking myself in 2 months if I'm trying to buy one on an obscure website for £1,000. You know what? £700 today.
And you didn't even have to get a TV remote with it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a steal.
He bought one anyway. But
no, Pete, I did buy something.
Because there was only three left, Pete, so he had to.
No, I bought a keyboard with an attachable keyboard.
That was the package you wanted, wasn't it? With the attachable, right, yeah, okay.
17% off, Pete.
I could have got you an attachable keyboard that would be better in seconds.
No, because this one is designed for it, so it fits, but don't worry about it. That's cool.
Does it come with an amiibo as well, by any chance? Yeah,
just for Skyward Sword.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. So you posed at the beginning of sort of why would these be the way into handheld for me? And as always, it comes down to three things with PC gaming, really, across the board, which is performance, battery, temperature. Like, that's generally where you come down. Yep. And these, the performance looks really good for what I would have expected. But obviously, it's a lot lower than I'm going to get on my laptop or any PC built.
Yes.
The battery, it's an interesting one because there's part of me that wants to go, it's really impressive. And there's also part of me that wants to go, it's still not that great, though, because all of these seem to be getting about 2 hours at a decent clip, and then they have to recharge while gaming, right? That's what I'd seen anyway.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and at least in the case of the Aya Neo, we know that even at very low battery, because it's AMD, it's going to run really well. The floor of its performance is going to be pretty damn good, no matter how close to dying it is. And the other two are going to charge quicker. So that's going to be... They're going to work. And for what they are, that's a really good situation.
What if I told you, Pete, that my Switch probably gets just over 3 hours?
And yeah, you see, that's why I'm like, I'd like more.
The newer Switches get a lot more. The Switch Lite, I think, gets up to 9 hours. The second revision of Switch gets like 7.5. I think mine, if I started playing it from 100% now, probably get about 3.5 maybe.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, that's the interesting bit, is you're only going to get 2 hours out of this. And at least with the Aya Neo, oven mitts was not a joke. Like, I've seen them clocked in at 74 Celsius.
Like, which isn't surprising, because the PS5,
it's not, but you're holding that.
I know, but like, and it's amazing.
I'm
how they
sure
cope
mine
it.
Gets higher than that in the laptop. But yes, you are, and it will literally holding it in your fingertips.
So the PS5 and the Xbox, they clock in at like 100 degrees.
Yeah, they'll hit 82s. They'll hit the hundreds now and again. I'm sure this laptop does as well. Particularly if you're playing it in a bad situation, like lounging around. Of course, it's going to hit the high temps, but you're not touching it with your fingertips.
Like, no, I they must have some pretty decent heat sinks that are taking it away from where you're holding it.
That's going to be interesting. And then the performance is kind of the killer for me, because while, again, it's really impressive what they're doing, and I wouldn't have expected spec like this in a handheld. It's far ahead of the Switch, for one thing.
Yes.
Like,
oh, it's
the amount
they're comparing it.
Power, my God.
Well, they're comparing it. They're saying, like, the advertising for this was like, well, if you're waiting for the Switch Pro, take a look at this. Newsflash, the Switch Pro is not going to get anywhere near this. Like, the Switch is basically a glorified mobile phone. The Switch Pro, I mean, it'll be an up. We're all expecting this, it's going to be an upgrade. But it cannot be a significant upgrade, because it's still going to play exactly the same fucking games. What's the point? And two, it won't. Like, we've seen what Nintendo did before. Nintendo knew the PS5 was coming out. They knew the Xbox Series X was coming out in a few years' time, and they still released like the Switch as it was, basically a mobile. So they didn't give a fuck about that type of stuff. So it's not, the Switch Pro is not going to be revolutionary. It's just going to be a better screen, a bit more processing power, longer battery, could be all of that kind of stuff. But these are on another level, man. These are so, so far ahead of the game.
And yet the thing for me is, you're going to throttle at 50, 60 FPS on everything. Most of it's going to run at 30. Let's be honest.
Yes, I think you're right. If you wanted medium settings on most of your stuff, I think you're right that they would. If you're happy to make concessions, I know it does run games, you know, 60 to 80 frames a sec, depending on what game. You have to make concessions. Like,
that's the thing for me. And I think I'll be really interested to see how yours goes. How you play with it, and I'm assuming you'll do a review for us when it comes in as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will be interested to see that. But for me, I think maybe because I play pretty processor-heavy games anyway. Not that I'm looking at Warhammer Total War, Stellaris, or any of those, or anything like that. But it's going to kill the system to try and play those games.
Yes, I think so.
So for me personally, it would be pretty difficult to justify the price, which is not high for what you're getting and the format you're getting it in. It's not enough, or it's too much for me to consider it a viable choice for me personally. What about you, Eddie? What's your feeling on these?
I mean, it's weird to me, because this seems like, I can't imagine PC gamers wanting a handheld. Because PC games are quite typically, gamers are quite typically like really serious gamers. So, like me, I there are literally a limited amount of times I would like to sit back on my sofa and play a game while watching something in the background.
Yeah.
Normally, I am full invested with the music with my headphones on playing a game. So, I mean, it's really impressive, the specs of something that fits in here. It's amazing, really. I was amazed by my laptop with the specs, but these specs are pretty much the same. Mine's got a better graphics card, but apart from that, it's fantastic. There are a few things that really put me off. The sound was abysmal. Mm. So you'd need to get... It'll have Bluetooth, I assume. So
it does, it does.
Yeah, you just get some speakers and bada bing, bada boom, easy. Yeah. Heat concerns me. You know what? This is weird, right? Weight. So... I'm sure it will be fine, but I don't know. Like, I play games for hours on end. You know, I play for, in the evening, I'll play for 3 hours, then have like a 10-minute break, and then play for another couple hours. Carrying one of them.
Well, yeah, remember, you're not carrying it. So I play the Switch all the time. Yes, if you were carrying it out in your arms, that's right. But you don't, you lay back, right. You rest on you. So
right, okay.
Are you ever holding it? That's rare.
This is the thing. Like, it's a handheld. You're not gonna hold. Like, it's
no. I'm saying about the Switch. No, I'm saying that's the Switch. You don't hold the Switch either. You have it resting in your hands, but you have it basically in your lap. Like, nobody holds it in the air in front of them. That's not really how you play anything. Because you're right. Yeah, that would murder your arm. So that's not really how you play. So I can, and the weight is a thing. But I don't think it is in terms of conventional ways of playing, but again, it's just what you, because it's got to pack a lot into that system, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And if you are those type of game, because there are, obviously we know, I mean, look how well the Switch has sold, that there are those type of gamers that like to sit back and relax. Ben, you're obviously one of them. I think you've definitely gone, you've got the One X player, you said, right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've definitely got the best one there. I mean, it looked, I think the GPD one looked shit, if I'm being honest.
It doesn't look tiny, does it?
You know what it really pisses me off? When I saw like the sale video, it was like showing off the keyboard. You know what that reminded me of? Is ages ago, like 5 years ago, my dad went like, oh, I don't like your iPhone because it's difficult to type. I like my BlackBerry. And he got his BlackBerry out and the fucking buttons were literally the size of pinpricks. And I was like, who uses that? Yeah, that was weird to me that was like, oh, this is impressive. No, that's not impressive.
Yeah.
That's like if it was like, oh, look, it's got a wire that you have to plug into the wall 24/7. I mean, that's not impressive. I think the Aya Neo, whatever the hell it's called, I think that looks gorgeous, don't you think?
It looks so good.
It
does.
It looks gorgeous, but it's just not as good as the other one, in my opinion.
The Joy-Cons that you could see through and stuff. It just looked sweet, didn't it? It looks
I saw someone
cool.
playing, I think it was Warzone or Modern Warfare anyway, one of them. And it just looked like, it just looked cool. It did.
Yeah.
But no, I think if I was definitely going to get one, it would definitely be the One X player. Definitely. Yeah. It's huge, isn't it? The screen's fucking massive.
It's monstrous.
But,
it's absolutely monstrous.
The question is, Eddie, would you get one? Could you see yourself getting one of these?
I have not bought RimWorld royalty because it won't go down for 50. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I should have known that. So, yeah, that's the one. But it must be said, Ben, there was one other bit to this I wanted to discuss, which has come from our sort of previous podcast, really, the last few features, where we've talked a couple of times about a crossover between Nintendo and Game Pass.
Yes, yes.
Now, obviously, we were mostly thinking of Game Pass coming to the Switch, but if there was going to be a crossover, surely there'd be some Nintendo games coming to Game Pass or something similar.
I can't imagine that.
You'd surely think that's what Xbox would want, though, wouldn't they?
I don't think they would. I think they just want Game Pass on Nintendo systems.
Fair enough. The reason I bring it up that way in particular is, surely these sort of devices would be why Nintendo would never let that happen. And in a sense, don't these devices kind of make the Switch irrelevant anyway?
Yeah, I see where you're going. The one thing that stands out to me, though, is this is still a PC. And a lot of gamers are put off by the fact that you buy a game And just like we've been discussing, like, you have to play around with the settings, you'll play around with the resolutions, you might have to get a new driver. For some reason, you haven't personally done anything to your computer, but one day that game doesn't work.
Yeah.
And something's gone wrong. Some updates happen, something's happened over here. It's still a PC. When you get a Switch, yes, okay, your resolution may be down. You know, Subnautica doesn't look as good as it does on the PC, but you know what? It works. It's optimized for it. And if it's not, the developer releases a patch and makes it work. It's a little cartridge or it's a download and it works. And there's a lot to be said for that. This takes it one stage further to the gamer that, one, this is a luxury product. It's what we've just discussed is, I think a lot of people would get into handheld gaming if it were very reasonably priced. It's not very reasonably priced, but this is well ahead of the game. Like 3-4 years ago, this was inconceivable.
Yeah.
Like the Switch was revolutionary. The Switch was revolutionary that nobody really expected. When the Switch was announced, nobody expected it to do as well as it did. Nobody expected the games that have been put on it to have been, look at like The Outer Worlds, let's say. Like, that is on the Switch. That is mental. Like, it's incredible what has been done and what developed. Because they've sold so many, developers have really invested in it. And, yes, there have been concessions made, but that's happened. A couple of years ago, this would have been inconceivable. Now the popularity is there. And the mere fact that this exists is tremendous. But it is a niche product. It's a luxury product. And it is for those people who don't mind, when it comes down to it, getting their hands dirty to fix something. And they're prepared for that to happen. They just don't want that in their general gaming life.
Yeah.
Whereas it, but then again, when you look at yourself, Pete, who is a PC gamer, and you play on a laptop, there isn't, I think it's aiming at the audience of me. I don't think it's aiming at the audience of you, because you already do your PC gaming and you always play on a laptop and you're already committed to your PC. You don't want to kind of downgrade in any regard. Whereas I have a PC, but I'm not a PC gamer, I would say. So yeah, this is the hybrid option. But I see what you're saying about possible irrelevance of the Switch. Definitely your point is valid about why would they ever want their games coming onto Game Pass? Because of things like this. But I honestly think that Game Pass thing is just Xbox.
It would just be a one-way street.
I believe it would be. But equally, for that purpose, I will have Game Pass on this. So next month I'll have a console, a handheld console, which has Game Pass on, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing.
Yeah, and I can see why. Like, and I do agree with you. I think they are aiming at the 80 million people who bought Switches.
The one thing that I do have a concern over, though, is Joy-Con drift, because I have literally had to, I mean, I've literally operated on the Joy-Cons, flipped out the Joy-Cons, changed it, got a kit to repair it and stuff because of Joy-Con drift. Now, I think it's maybe the GPD win. That one seems to have Joy-Con, I think, or maybe the AO Neo, that it looks basically exactly the same as Joy-Con analog sticks. Joysticks. So that may have drift, and we don't know yet because I haven't been out long enough. It takes 6-12 months. But if you get drift on that, it's like the Switch Lite. If you get drift on a Switch Lite, you're fucked. Like, unless you're taking that apart, but I don't want to be taking that apart. I mean, it's a serious piece of kit.
And actually, this was one thing I did like. So I had a look at the GDP win. And one of the best things about that one in particular is the fact that you could potentially fit that actually in your pocket.
Yes.
The One X player, unless you're wearing some kind of parachute pants, there's no pocket in the world that fits that thing.
No.
But it strongly says, do not put this in your pocket. You'll damage the analog sticks. And you're like, well, what was the point?
essentially, you still got to carry it around like a laptop, haven't you? Like, you've got to have a small laptop pouch or something for them.
Oh, they're going to have customized cases, aren't they? Like, that's going to be a thing.
I think they will. But that's all to come. You know, there are obvious issues with these things, but fuck, the tech is there now these days, man. This is, who would have ever thought it? Like, to get that kind of stuff in your hands is just fucking ridiculous. And there were only five left, guys. There were only five left.
You had to. I'm actually on their website now buying one.
What I love about that, Ben, as well, is
it's weird though, right? Because it says there's 14 left, so I don't know what's happened there.
I was actually going to say,
I was going to say, isn't it brilliant that people can make up limitations on something that hasn't yet been built?
Yes, it actually says like,
it's not made yet.
Yeah, it actually says like in production, like that's the stage that it's at, because and it's just releasing at some time in June.
Yeah, well, could you imagine that? You go to a bakery and there's a baker just standing there who goes, "I'm only making 5 loaves. Better buy one now."
Yeah,
like, that's the day.
Men would buy every loaf in the
It's worse than that. It's I'm only making 5 loaves, and those loaves will be available at some time in the future. Yeah. You don't know when.
A speculative loaf.
You don't know when, but they'll be delivered sometime soonish.
Take my money.
Anyway. I think if anyone else has got any interesting opinions on handheld PC gaming in particular, and these three particular devices, how can they get in touch with us, Ben? How could they let us know?
They could let us know by email at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk or on Twitter at grumpygamerspod.
Fantastic. But for now...
So fluent with that now.
I know.
He is getting good, yeah. We should take the time to applaud him for that.
Really. Fucking pro, guys.
But we're not going to take that time because for now it's GG.
GG.
GG.